السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلي وسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة، يقاتلون في سبيل الله فيقتلون ويقتلون، وعدا عليه حقا في التوراة والإنجيل والقرآن، ومن أوفى بعهده من الله فاستبشروا ببيعكم الذي بايعتم به، وذلك هو الفوز العظيم. التائبون العابدون الحامدون السائحون الراكعون الساجدون الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر والحافظون لحدود الله، وبشر المؤمنين. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and cure. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. Inshallah ta'ala, today we are going to be talking about an amazing deal, an amazing transaction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has offered unto the believers in the noble Quran. The ayah in focus, inshallah ta'ala, today will be إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bought over, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has exchanged with the believers. What has He exchanged? He has exchanged for their lives and their wealth, He has exchanged Jannah, He has exchanged paradise. This is the transaction. If you were to take any transaction, okay, for a transaction to be valid, for a transaction to be enacted, you have to have a seller, you have to have a buyer, and you have to have the commodity. Yes or no? You have to have the seller, you have to have the buyer, and you have to have the commodity. So let's study this transaction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the seller. And the mu'minun, each and every one of us, we all consider ourselves mu'minun. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all strong mu'minun. Ameen. We are the buyers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the seller. We are the buyers. And the commodity is a commodity like none other. Jannah, paradise. And our currency, you can't buy it with dollars. You can't buy Jannah with pounds. You can't buy Jannah with rufiah. You can't buy Jannah with rupees. You can't buy Jannah with paisa. You can't buy Jannah with any of these monetary forms. Your currency is your lives and your wealth. So from this we understand, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that Jannah first and foremost is not cheap. Jannah is not cheap. Jahannam is, yes, surrounded by easy things, lustful things, sins. But Jannah is surrounded by good deeds, by hardship, by sacrifice. And this is the element that I hope to touch on today, inshallah ta'ala. Sacrifice, i.e. sacrificing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To sacrifice for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. When we look at the lives of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, we clearly understand that they clearly understood that they are headed towards Jannah and that they are ready to sacrifice whatever they have to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Jannah. And that's exactly what they did. That's exactly what they did. You know what? I can go on and on quoting anecdotes, stories, parables from the lives of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, because if you were to look at any Sahabi, any companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life was filled with sacrifice for the sake of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But due to the brevity of time, I'll touch on a few anecdotes inshaAllah ta'ala. Anecdote number one. Have you heard of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu? Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu. A young individual before he embraced Islam, a young, dashing and handsome individual. An individual who was born into the lap of luxury. He was born with so many riches. Why? Because he was born into an influential and affluential family of the Quraysh. He was a rich individual. He was a rich young individual. He was so rich that he would deck himself. He would wear expensive threads, you know, like today's designer threads, Emporio Armani and whatnot. He used to deck himself with expensive threads. He used to wear the most expensive of fragrances, the most expensive of perfumes. And it used to be so strong and so expensive that if Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu passed by a street, and if an individual were to pass by on that street hours later, that individual would be able to state that Mus'ab has passed by because of the strong aroma of his perfumes, of his fragrances that he used to wear. Allahu Akbar. He used to be such a rich individual. He was born into the lap of luxury. Whatever he wished for, his parents gave him, because he was such a fortunate individual at that time. And then what happens? The message of Islam comes about. He hears about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching at Darul Arqam. And one day Mus'ab radiyallahu anhu, he goes to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's when his fate, his destiny took a complete turn. He goes, he listens to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he embraces Islam at the hands of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He kept this embracing of Islam undercover, because he was sure that if his parents were to come to know of it, they were not going to like it. So he kept it undercover for some time. But eventually his mother finds out, and no sooner she finds out, she keeps him under house arrest. Not just any ordinary house arrest. She refuses to give him food. She refuses to give him drink. She shackles him up inside the house and refuses to let him go out. Her own beloved son, her son who she loved so much that she gave him everything, but now that he has embraced Islam, she starts to threaten him. You must leave Islam. Leave Islam, or I will not give you food. I will not give you drink. I will keep you shackled forever until you die. And she started to threaten him. But he did not waver. The spirits of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu did not waver, because he had tasted the sweetness of Iman. Ladhatul Iman. He had tasted the sweetness of Islam, the sweetness of following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nothing in this world could make him waver and give up that Islam. So he did not waver. He did not need food. He did not need drink. He was shackled up, but he bore all of this. But think about it. Put yourselves in his shoes. He was not an individual born into difficulty. Like say Bilal radiallahu anhu. I'm not undermining Bilal radiallahu anhu in any way. But Bilal radiallahu anhu was born amidst difficulty. Mus'ab ibn Umair was born amidst luxuries. And now everything has been stripped away from him, and he is put through difficulties, but he is not wavering, just as how Bilal radiallahu anhu did not waver when the huge boulder was placed on him and his master kept threatening him, leave Islam, leave Islam. All that he said was Ahad, Ahad, the one Allah, one Allah, in the middle of the blazing sands of the desert, Bilal radiallahu anhu. Likewise, Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, he did not waver, Time passes by and eventually his parents let him go. And now he frequents the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At times the companions, the Sahaba, they would look at Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu and they would cry. Because they would see him seated by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amidst the companions or the people of As-Suffa, Ashab As-Suffa, he would be seated. And his clothes would have patches. His clothes would have patches. This young, dashing individual who used to wear expensive threads is now garbed with clothing that has patches on it. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because he sacrificed everything for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the time comes about when an individual, when an ambassador had to be sent to Medina, because the news comes about that people were embracing Islam in Medina, and someone had to be sent to Medina to teach those newly the new converts Islam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he chooses Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu to send him to Medina. Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu, he goes all the way to Medina and he teaches them Islam. And there were a number of individuals such as Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu, Sa'd ibn Mu'ad radiyallahu anhu, all senior companions from the Ansar who embraced Islam at the hands of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made hijrah and went to Medina, there were tens and thousands of individuals who had embraced Islam at the hands of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu, waiting to welcome Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now comes about the crucial moment in the life of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu. The battle of Uhud. The battle of Uhud. Now Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu, he participates in the battle of Uhud, and he was given the responsibility of being the standard bearer for that battle. In the sense, he was the flag bearer. In those days, when battles used to take place between the two armies, they would have two flag bearers, two individuals who would hold high the flags of their armies and say, perchance, if that flag bearer were to be killed, there should be another flag bearer to take up the flag. If the flag were to fall, that would indicate that that army has lost the battle. Now Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu was put in charge of the flag for the Muslim army. He holds the flag high and the battle starts. The battle starts. Whilst the battle was going on against the Muslimun, there was this rumor that was spread that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was killed. Allahu Akbar. Now the minute this rumor started to spread, there was a lot of chaos amidst the Muslim army because everybody was confused. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been killed. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been killed. People started to leave their positions. People started to run helter skelter. Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu, in a way, he looked like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From afar, if you were to look at him, you would think him to be Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was the same height, the same complexion, the same features. So what he did was he grabbed the flag and he runs to the middle of the battlefield, encouraging the others not to leave their positions. Now, whilst he was holding the flag, there was an enemy soldier who spots him. And that enemy soldier runs to him and chops off his right hand. Now Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu was holding the flag with his right hand. His right hand is chopped off. It's a little bit, you know, if you were to say a bit graphical, this description, but it is important for us to understand how much they sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His right hand is being cut off. He immediately transfers the flag onto his left hand and holds the flag with his left hand. Then the enemy attacks him from the left and cuts off his left hand. Both his arms cut off. Now he's just got the stumps of his hands. He grabs the flag with his bosom like this and holds on to it tightly, not letting it go. Until finally another enemy soldier spots him from afar and flings a spear. The spear goes straight through him, and Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu returns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a shaheed. He falls down. Immediately another companion rushes and grabs the flag and continues. Allahu Akbar. Now my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, after the battle had ended, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stands in front of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu. And then at that point, they were about to bury Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu. There was the kafan, the shroud that was brought to cover Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu, and it was such a small piece of cloth that when his head was covered, his feet was exposed. His feet were exposed. When they tried to cover his feet, his head was exposed. Allahu Akbar. Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu, who used to deck himself with expensive threads, who used to wear the most expensive of fragrances, now he leaves the world unto Allah, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pleasing the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without enough shroud to cover his entire body. They try to cover his head, his feet is being exposed. When they try to cover his feet, his head is being exposed. Until finally Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks that his head be covered and his feet was covered with leaves. Look at how much they sacrifice for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me give you another beautiful anecdote. There was a young orphan boy who had inherited, this was also during the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He inherited an orchard, a garden full of date palms. Now after the boy grew up, okay, he wants to build a wall now to divide his orchard from the orchard of his neighbor. Now the issue was, to build the wall, there was one date palm in the middle obstructing. There was one date palm in the middle that was obstructing the building of this wall. So he goes to the neighbor who was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes to him and says, Ya Ammi, O uncle, can you please help me out? I want to build this wall. Is there any way that perhaps if you allow me, I can relocate this date palm to another location? Or perhaps if you can forego the date palm, then I can build the wall without any issue. The man says, look young boy, this date palm is my right. It belongs to me and I'm not going to forego it. The boy starts to plead. He's a yatim, yani he's an orphan, and he pleads, uncle, please let go of it so that I can build the wall, because I need to build the wall. The man says, no, it is my right and I'm not going to forego it. The boy pleads a third time, please help me out in this regard. This is the only, you know, asset that I have and I want to secure it by building a wall around it. The man says, look, it's my right, I'm not going to forego it, stop troubling me. And the narration goes along the lines of these words. The boy runs to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he tells him, Ya Rasulullah, this is what has happened. This is all that I own from my parents. And I want to build a wall to safeguard it, but this man is not letting me do it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listens to the story of the orphan boy and he calls the man. And he tells him, I'm going to give you a deal. If you forego this date palm of yours for this young orphan, I guarantee you a date palm in Jannah. Wow, what a deal. Short life, the date palm may die and go, but a date palm in Jannah? If you are being given a date palm in Jannah, that means you have gotten Jannah. If not, how can you enjoy the date palm in Jannah? Guarantee from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The man thinks for a while and says, Ya Rasulullah, please excuse me, the date palm belongs to me and I don't wish to forego it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at the man and says, I offer you, you give the date palm unto the boy, I offer you an orchard of date palms in Jannah. Now, not just one date palm, a garden of date palms. The man thinks again and he says, Ya Rasulullah, it is my date palm, I do not wish to forego it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now says, for a branch of this tree, don't you want to get date palms in Jannah? The man again says, Ya Rasulullah, please excuse me, kindly excuse me. He gets up and he leaves the gathering. Now there was a companion by the name Abu Dahdah radiallahu an, who was listening to this entire conversation. No sooner the man leaves, he seizes the opportunity, he runs to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, if I secure that date palm, if I buy that date palm and give it to you, will you guarantee me the same thing that you guaranteed that man? Will you guarantee me an orchard in Jannah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, of course. Of course I will guarantee you that orchard in Jannah. Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu runs after this man. And he tells him, Ya Rajul, stop, wait, I have a deal for you, listen to me. The man turns around and says, what is it, Ya Abu Dahda? Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu says, look, I'm interested in buying your date palm. Earlier it was asked to give it away. Now I'm interested in buying your date palm. Name your price and I will buy it. The man looks at Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu and says, Ya Abu Dahda, I'm sorry. The date palm is not for sale. The date palm is not for sale. Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu now, he owns an orchard in Medina, a famous orchard. An orchard, according to certain mu'arrikhun, certain historians, they state that he had almost around 400 to 600 date palms inside that orchard. 400 to 600 date palms. He looks at the man and says, look, I offer you my orchard with all its date palms in exchange for your one date palm. Allahu Akbar. The man looks at him and says, Ya Abu Dahda, are you out of your mind? Are you sure you want to do this deal? Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu says, I want to do this deal to secure an orchard in Jannah. The man says, fine. Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu, he goes ahead with the deal. He exchanges his orchard with 400 to 600 date palms in it for one date palm. And he runs back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, I have purchased the date palm. It is for you and for Allah. Now he goes back home, because his orchard is next to his house. He goes home and from afar he sees his wife and his children playing inside the orchard that he has just sold. Beautiful orchard, a green and lush orchard with springs running, you know, streams running, date palms everywhere. His wife and his children are playing inside. He goes, he does not enter the orchard from outside. He says, my dear wife, I have sold the orchard. It does not belong to us anymore. So please take our children and come out. Now the wife, she thinks, our beautiful orchard, my husband must have sold it for a good price. So she asks her husband, so how was the deal? I mean, how did it go? How much did you sell it for? Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu says, I exchanged this orchard of ours for one date palm in exchange for an orchard in Jannah, in paradise. Allahu Akbar. Now think of it, just think what our women folk would say if we tell them that we have exchanged our house for one date palm. They would say, what have you done? But this wife was also upon the same vision as Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu. She says, what a profitable investment. What a profitable investment. And she immediately runs to get the children. She gets the children and she comes. And when she's bringing the children, the little children had dates in their hands. She takes the dates one by one from their hands and says, oh children, this does not belong to us anymore. She places it on the ground. She says, this does not belong to us anymore. It belongs to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she immediately exits from the orchard. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you might wonder, 400 to 600 date palms for one date palm. But you know why they went ahead with such deals? Because they understood the value of Jannah. They understood that this life is temporary, this life is short. But that life is forever and ever. And they did whatever it took to secure an amazing life in the hereafter. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he describes Jannah in one hadith. And he says that Jannah has 100 levels, 100 stages. Levels in the sense, not like the TV game levels, you know, level 1, level 2, level 3. 100 levels, 100 stages. And he states, between each stage, the distance between each level is the distance from the earth to the heavens. The distance between each stage, between each level is from the earth to the heavens, 100 levels, and the highest of them all is Jannatul Firdaus. And the roof of Jannatul Firdaus is Arshur Rahman, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also taught us, whenever you make dua to Allah, fasalul Firdaus, ask for Firdaus, ask for Jannatul Firdaus. When you make dua, aim for the highest. Don't settle for anything lower. Don't settle for level 1. Don't settle for level 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Settle for level 100. Ask for Jannatul Firdaus. Now if you analyze the hadith a little bit. Okay? Look at the distance that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions from the face of this earth to the heavens. Do you know that until today, no one has covered the distance from the heavens to the from the earth to the heavens? Even the fact that human beings have gone to the moon is something debated. There are many conspiracy theories surrounding that as well. Wallahu alam, Allah knows best as to whether they really went to the moon or not. No one knows the extent of this universe, the extent of this galaxy. Do you know that we belong to one galaxy? And what's that galaxy known? The Milky Way galaxy. Are we talking about the Milky Way chocolate? Are we talking about the galaxy chocolate? Everybody's fasting, we are hungry. No, we're talking about the galaxies of the universe. We belong to the galaxy known as the Milky Way galaxy. And do you know, apart from that, similar to our galaxy, according to certain astronomers, there are almost around 100 billion galaxies. Our Milky Way galaxy consists of the solar system, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, okay? Earth, Saturn, Uranus, all these planets are within the Milky Way galaxy. And apart from the Milky Way galaxy, we have another 100 billion odd galaxies, and astronomers put forth a disclaimer stating that if we have better technology, the number might double. Based on the technology that we have now, we are roughly estimating that there are almost around 100 billion galaxies. And within the Milky Way galaxy, do you know that there are almost around 100 million stars, some of which are bigger than the sun and some of which are smaller than the sun. From level 1 to level 2, the distance from the earth to the heavens. So just imagine what a vast Jannah. What a vast Jannah. And do you know of the last person to enter paradise? The last individual to enter paradise. Authentic hadith. It is in the book of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, if I'm not mistaken. The narration goes along the lines of these words. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu states that the last person to enter Jannah, he will be taken out of Jahannam. He will be taken out of Jahannam. Or it will be as if he is about to stumble and fall into Jahannam. He will be burnt a little bit. And he will move away from Jahannam and he will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he was saved from falling into Jahannam. And now because of the heat of Jahannam, because of the difficulty of Jahannam, he'll be sweating and he'll be feeling so uncomfortable. Suddenly he will see a tree far away. And he will make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, let me make it until the tree, Ya Allah, so that I can fall down by the shade of that tree and rest a little, Ya Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at that slave and say, oh my slave, if I were to answer this dua of yours, will you ask me anything else afterwards? The man says, no, Ya Rasulullah, no, Ya Allah, I will not ask you of anything else. I just want to make it to that tree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer the dua of that man and the man will stumble and fall by that tree and he will start to rest by the tree. No sooner he falls by the tree, he will notice another tree with a bigger shade, a more beautiful looking tree. He will immediately pray to Allah, oh Allah. This is not in Jannah, okay? This is outside of Jannah. He'll say, oh Allah, can I make it to that tree? Because the shade is bigger, so I can rest better there, Ya Allah. Allah will look at the slave and say, oh my slave, you promised that you will not ask me anything. If I were to answer your dua, I answered your dua and now you're asking me of something else. If I were to answer this dua of yours, will you ask me anything else? The man will say, no, Ya Allah, I will not ask you anything else. Allah will answer his dua and the man will make it to the second tree. He makes it to the second tree. Now he notices a third tree close to Jannah. Close to Jannah. He will pray to Allah. Oh Allah, can I make it to the third tree, Ya Allah? Allah will say, oh my slave, you promised that you will not ask me anything. And here you are, you're asking something else again. If I were to answer this dua, will you ask of me anything else? Will you ask of me anything else? To which the man will say, no, Ya Allah, I will not. And he will go and stumble by the third tree. And now, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, he will see the gates of Jannah. He will see the gates of Jannah. He will hear the people of Jannah, the Ahlul Jannah. He will make dua to Allah. If I'm not mistaken, the narration goes along the lines of these words. He will make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, can I make it by the gates of Jannah? Or he would have made dua to make it by the tree close to Jannah. Allah will say, oh my slave, you promised me that you will not ask me anything else. And then Allah Azza wa Jal will say, oh my slave, if I were to grant you entry into Jannah, and if I were to give you a Jannah that is 10 times bigger than planet Earth, will you stop asking me? If I were to grant you entry into Jannah and grant you 10 times the size of this Earth, will you stop asking me? To which the slave will say, Ya Allah, are you joking with me, Ya Allah? Are you making a mockery out of me, Ya Allah? And then Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an, he says, at that point he started to smile. And he asked the companions around him, will you not ask me why I'm smiling? Then they all asked him, Ya Ibn Mas'ud, why are you smiling? Then he said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioning the narration, he smiled. And we asked him, Ya Rasulullah, why are you smiling? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, at this point, Allah Azza wa Jal will smile. Kama yaliqu bi sha'nihi wa jalali. In a manner that befits his majesty and glory. He will not smile like how we smile. He will smile in a manner that befits his majesty and glory. He will smile and say, "Oh my slave, I'm not joking with you. I'm not making a mockery out of you. I am Allah and I can do what I want." Then Allah will grant him that Jannah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the last person to enter Jannah, if he is going to get 10 times the size of planet Earth, then just imagine the person who is going to get the highest of Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus. Remember this, the only size of regret and sadness that the people of Jannah will have, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of Jannah. We will not have any sadness in our hearts. The only sadness that we will have when we go to Jannah is that I should have said one more subhanallah. I should have said one more alhamdulillah. I should have said one more Allahu Akbar. I should have given one more dollar in charity. I should have given one more pound in charity. I should have done one more good deed. I should have prayed one more rak'ah. If I had given out $1 in charity, there will be another tree for me in Jannah. If I had said one more subhanallah, there will be another tree for me in Jannah. If I had prayed another 2 rak'ah, there will be another palace for me in Jannah. Because this is the chance for us to plant the seeds and we go to Jannah and harvest. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today we live in a time and an era where the opportunities to do goodness are many and they are far and wide. There are many opportunities to do goodness. There are many opportunities to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me give you just one or two examples. These days, do you have to carry this Quran with you? You don't have to carry the Quran. These days, you have the Quran in your mobile phone. Wherever you go, you can open it up and you can read a few pages of the Quran. These days, there are many platforms. There are many platforms to spread the message of goodness, to do da'wah. You have online platforms. You have platforms like WhatsApp. You have platforms like YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. There are many platforms for you to do goodness. And then in terms of charity, there are many, many opportunities. There are many masajid being built that you can help out. And think about it. Think about what's happening around the world in terms of our brothers and sisters. Talk about our brothers and sisters in Syria. Look at how they're suffering. Look at your table. When you break your fast, look at the variety of food that you have. Look at the variety of drinks that you have. Look at the variety of fruits that you have. And think about your family. Think about your brethren, your brothers and sisters in Syria who are starving on a daily basis. Who is going to help them in this world if not for us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help them in any way. He doesn't need us, but it's just a matter of you asking yourself, do you want to get involved in the equation or not? Allah will help them. Anyway, Allah will help them. But do you want to be a part of it and do you want to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like one body. Is like one body. If one limb aches of that body, the entire body aches in response. Just imagine when you have a tooth pain, can you forget about it and go about doing your thing? Your whole body will ache. You will develop a fever. Just imagine if you break one of your hands, will you be able to just forget about it, remove your hand and keep it and go about with what you're doing? No, your entire body will ache. You will want to sleep. You will want to go to the doctors. You will develop a fever. Why? Because it's part of your body and you feel the pain. The ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like one body. Your brothers and sisters in Burma are suffering. Your brothers and sisters in Syria are suffering. Your brothers and sisters in many parts of the world are suffering. How can we live happily? How can we eat when we think of them? So let's try to help them out. If we can do so monetarily, let us do so. If we have means of spending money and helping them out, and trust me, there are many means. There are many operations happening where you can help them out with your money. You can give money and food will be delivered to them. You can give money and clothes will be delivered to them. You can give money and they will build wells for you there for them. If you perhaps don't have money to help them out, make dua for them. You're making your iftar today. When you raise your hands to Allah, don't only make dua for yourself. Don't only make dua for your families, but make dua for your larger family, your brothers and sisters in Syria, your brothers and sisters all around the world, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should alleviate their sufferings. And apart from that, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, there are many other charitable projects that you can help. Today there are many charitable projects. Like I said, they're building masajid. There's a lot of da'wah work taking place. There are many charity aid projects that are happening all over the world. All you have to do is do a little bit of research. Go online, see, look for legitimate projects, and if you feel like helping out by giving a dollar, help out by giving $10, help out by giving whatever you have, And trust me, you do it in Ramadan, according to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, afdalu sadaqa fi Ramadan, aw kama qala alaihi salatu wasallam. The best of sadaqa is during the month of Ramadan, because when you give one dinar, you give one dirham, you give $1, you give £1, you give one rufiah in Ramadan, it is multiplied many times for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many times. Look at the Sahaba, look at Abu Dahda radiallahu anh, he sacrificed his entire orchard, his entire garden for Allah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now ask yourself, what are you going to sacrifice for Allah? What are you going to sacrifice for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? With that I conclude. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins, to accept our good deeds, and just as how he unites us here, may he unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow here, same time, same place, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.